Welcome back to Brain Body Movement, the podcast for those interested in everything nutrition, training, and mindset. I'm one of your hosts, Brad, and I'll be joined by my co-host, Brock. Today's episode was another Q&A where we answered three questions that got sent to us through social media. Question number one, is it important to know your lean body mass? Question number two, how do you manage drinking slash partying and your health and fitness goals? Question number three, what are your top five foods to have in your groceries? That was in the back half of the show, and in the front half, we spoke about our nutrition and training, Super Mario, The Lion King, The Mission to the Moon, and it gave you a few random facts. All right, enjoy the show. Don't ever work for someone you don't want to become.
I'm quitting my job. No, technically I work for myself. This actually comes with a very interesting topic. So I was with a client on the weekend at Rufus, and he brought up the conversation that he is my boss. Now, I always believed that being a personal trainer, I was my own boss, but he goes, no, as a boss, you pay people for do tasks for you. Therefore, you are my boss. And it got me thinking, and I was like, no way. Then I saw a Fit College advertisement yesterday and it said, be your own boss. So I'm going back and forward with him currently about who is the boss in the personal trainer client relationship. And I'm on the personal trainer as the boss side of things because if I wanted to, I could quite easily cancel a session.
That's true.
Having said that, he could also quite easily cancel a session. So who is the boss in that situation? Brad, answer this for me because it has caused huge dilemma.
It's funny. When you work for someone, you're doing work for them and getting paid for it. So you then have a boss. But I also think like they're paying you, aren't they, for your work, which is technically they could potentially be your boss. But you have like, it's funny, I've heard this so many, like going back and forth as well, of all my clients are my boss because they're teaching me things and learning things as well, and they're paying me. So it's like, but like you choose your own hours. And I guess you choose your clients, you choose, who you want to work with, what you want to do with your business and that. And it only succeeds if you're there. But I guess everyone kind of needs someone to get him in a right direction. So it's, I don't even know. Like,
It's difficult, right? Don't worry,
it's,
this caused huge dramas over the weekend. It was a lot of back and forward conflict, but I do like that little bit of advice. Don't work for someone you don't want to become. I mean, how many bosses out there treat their staff like absolute shit? I mean, you should not be working for someone that treats people poorly. You should be wanting to work for someone that you look up to or that inspires you or that motivates you or encourages you or whatever it may be. Be a good role model for you. There's so many people out there working for shit people, shit bosses.
Yep, there is. And it's unfortunate because you can't just leave, can you? You can't just be like, oh, fuck it. And then you're left with no job. So if you are absolutely like, sometimes you have to put in those yards at the start if you are hating it, and then sort yourself out, maybe find another job, find another boss. Obviously, you're not going to know about that boss until you could hear things from other people, but like, unless you actually go there and work for them, because you could be like, oh, yeah, they're an amazing boss, but maybe they're just giving them special treatment. And then when you come along, it's totally different because maybe your personalities don't match. And it's one of those things like, you look at a boss, I hear it a lot from people of, it's not fair. My boss doesn't know what I'm doing, that I could do this job better than him. But until you are actually in a business, working on a business, like with us, like we have to do everything as like personal trainers and like online coaches and stuff, like everything. And we got to find our own clients, we got to do our own tax and all this shit, right? People just have to work and get told what to do and just work, right? And you can like, be your own little, do your own thing in your workplace and be the best little worker that you could be, right? But you don't know how much work is above you and what they actually have to do for you to be doing your work. You know what I mean? So it's like, I hear it like, and so I challenge people when they say, oh, my boss can't even do this job. Yeah, it's not. Of course, they can't do their job because you're doing your job. Like they're there to manage you so that you do your job. Like, and they've got other shit that they have to worry about. It's fine. Like, there's a reason why you're in that role because you're doing that job. Like, if they wanted to do that job, they'd be in that role as well, but they're not. They're up higher than you, and they are, what's the word? Not hoping, but they are expecting that you know how to do the job better than them. It's like if you want a good like company that actually thrives, it's like you hire people that are better than you at doing other shit. Like you can't do everything yourself. Like you're pulling from different ends of the fucking world. Like it's you know, if say let's say for like personal video, like doing a video or something like on YouTube or some shit, right? If you're there filming everything and then editing everything and then doing the music and then doing like my scripting and stuff, if all this energy is like 100% you, but then if you hire an editor, that editor can do like 100% of that work. Yeah. And do it. They may be like shitter than you, but say they're like only 30% shitter than you. They can spend 100% of their time working on that content and make it like 3 or 4 times better than what you could have. You know, and if you think that no one can, you know, do your style or no one can like coach as best as you, I'm like, of course there is. There's a shitload of people that can do it. Like it's been proven that like we're just gonna get better and better and better. There's a reason why that saying like we're standing on the shoulders of giants, why that resonates so well. It's like, you know, the old boys, they're just like, oh, back in my day, they didn't know hard work. It's like, no shit. You did that hard work. So it's easier for us, and we're doing the hard work now. So it's easier for our children. And then it continues the cycle. Like, stop fucking worrying about like how much harder it was back then. There's a reason why you worked that hard. So then we can fucking have better lives for our families right now, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So on the personal trainer side of things, things that I'm good at as a personal trainer is exercise execution and coaching people through habits and behaviors. Things that I am not great at as a personal trainer is managing my tax. Therefore, I pay someone to do it so my time can be best spent elsewhere doing things like correct exercise technique and changing people's habits and behaviors so they can get a better outcome and result. Whereas me spending that time doing my tax or accounting is not going to benefit people, get better results, and therefore build my business. So I will ship that side of my business off to other people. So therefore I can invest the things that I'm good at and know that I'm good at into developing better results and then building my brand. So I absolutely agree with you.
Yeah, you got it. It's just delegating. And it's unfortunate that people can just be stuck in that mindset of like, oh, I'm so much better than him, or I could do the job so much better than him. So yeah, you may be able to, but you don't see what's hidden behind the curtain of all the shit that they have to deal with that you're probably blinded to because, you know, you're not getting those phone calls, you're not getting those emails, you're not dealing with all this kind of shit.
That job is just one job under a whole umbrella of jobs that they're managing.
100%. So I just urge you just to step back if you are like complaining about like your job at this moment. Like if it's a shit boss, yes, and like abusing you, obviously try and get out as much as you can, but have a little bit of like step back and a different perspective of why are they doing that? And then just fucking leave. If it's like, don't just be like, oh, I'll wait till 10 years and I'll get my fucking long service leave. It's like, fuck that, man. Like that's,
yeah.
I a lot to say about that, but I'm going to leave it there as we can go on for. I got some good shit to bring up today.
Well, for example, with me and my current living situation, so I've been here for 8 months now. I've had internet troubles 3 or 4 occasions. The house is quite small. So I'm just going to break my lease and I'm just going to move into a 2-bedroom place, hopefully with better internet, fingers crossed. And that's a case of, no, I'm not going to wait the full 12 months and wait till that time is up. My happiness and effectiveness of my business through having a stable internet connection is going to be far better if I just break the lease. Yes, I may have to pay some more money and then move somewhere. One, it's a bigger house. It's closer to the beach. Fingers crossed it's got a better internet connection. But I'm not going to wait that full 12 months before I leave. I'm like, okay, this change is beneficial to me now. So let's just up and leave. Let's just go. So that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, for sure. And you've heard it here, folks. That's the first time I've heard of this shit. So you never told me that.
Nah, I haven't even told my real estate yet, but they're about to find out. I'm sure my real estate don't listen to this, but the internet service is shit. The house is small. They don't really offer me much. So I'm going to move to a place of a lovely guy who listens to the podcast. Mike, if you're listening, you're amazing. I'm going to move into his place.
Shout out, Mike.
Yeah, absolute legend.
Now all the podcasts can come out of Mike's house.
He'll be like, I know that room. Yeah,
Yeah.
so it's this place I'm currently in is it's a one bedder, and I mean, I stand up on my lounge and I'm in the kitchen. It's tiny, but this new place that I've been moving to, it's two bedrooms, so I can turn the second bedroom into like a podcast studio
Yeah.
office, and then there will be a distinguish between, because currently I'm struggling with the difference between, like, I rest on my couch but I also work on my couch, so there's no like distinguish between work and rest, and I want that clear, like, okay, now I'm working, okay, now I'm resting. And sometimes occasionally, like, I'll even be working in my bed and there's no distinguish between sleep and work, and it's just not healthy. So I want that clear distinguish. Plus, I don't really see enough of my brothers. They go to school at Coolum High. The place that I'm moving to will be in Coolum. I can put maybe like a futon in that spare bedroom as well, and then my brothers can stay over on a weekend if they want. So it'll be a change for the better. I can see the beach from the back balcony. I
Nice.
love Coolum, so it's a change for the better. But yeah, I'm
I can.
announcing it on the potty before I've told my
It's
real estate.
all good. It's all good. Oh, that's funny as man. So I thought you were near the beach now.
I am relatively close to the beach. I'm just a 5-minute drive away, but
Okay.
it's literally a 2-minute walk away. It's behind my favorite cafe that I go to every weekend to do some work. So it's literally an ideal location. I've always said I'd love to live in Coolum, and yeah, I'd much rather pay rent to Mike, who I know is an amazing person and has looked out for me in the past. So I'd much rather pay rent to him than to some unknown person who is charging a ridiculous amount for the place I'm currently living. So yeah, it's a win-win for everyone except for the owner of the place I'm currently living.
And yeah, if you're listening, sorry, mate, it's too expensive.
Okay, tell me about your week, mate. How's your training going? Did you squat is the big question.
I squatted a lot.
Oh, hello.
Yeah, I reckon I did the squat pattern three times this week. Normal hack squat and then heels elevated. Now, I only got to, what did I think it was still 100. Like, I'm fucking sore still. So I need to bump my calories up just a little bit. Just get me out of like a deficit for a week. So I bumped my calories up. And yeah, because I'm like, nah, I'm getting too sore. I need to just fuel myself a little bit just to get past this little, I guess, increase in squatting volume, I would call it. And then once the repeated bout effect kicks in, then I can start to drop it again if I, which I probably will next week, I'll drop it again. So squatted like, yeah, only 100 again on the just normal squat. Heels elevated this time was 80 kilos. So I got really deep. And that felt good because last time I only did like 50. Hack squat, I think it was like 120 or something like that for like three. So those are feeling good. Just getting used to getting in that squat position again because it's been so long on the hack squat. And yeah, like I said on the podcast before, squatting is probably my least favorite exercise out of all of them. I'm doing this purely to prove my missus wrong in the most healthiest way possible. But I'm starting to enjoy it. So, and this is the thing, I'm like, I think I've just put so much pressure on myself, and saying to myself all the time how much I hate squatting, that it's because I'm shit at it. And now that I'm starting to get a little bit better at it, I'm starting to like it a little bit more than when I used to squat a lot. Because I could, yeah. And so I'm like, okay, maybe I just needed to bite the bullet and just squat that a little bit more and really enjoy it. And so yeah, I'm starting to enjoy it a little bit more every time I go in there. I'm not dreading going to squat. And the thing is, if I don't want to do like a normal barbell back squat, I could do a box squat or I could do a heels elevated, I could do a hack squat. So all these are in my pocket if I need them, which is great because unless you're like a power lifter, well, even then they can still, do other variations, but I don't need to always just keep squatting that heavy weight. So it's just getting used to having that much weight on my back, and I've got like fucking scars and shit because I'm low barring it as well because I know I can lift more with that. So it's just getting into that position again and learning because for so long as well, whenever I did the back squat probably like if I think last time I did it was maybe 3 months or 4 months ago. I was more doing high bar squats. So this time low bar, going from there. So yeah, feeling good now.
Okay, that's good. You want to know about my week?
Yeah. Tell me about your week.
So I finished the mini cut, right? And it was 2.3, 2.4 kilos overall I lost in the 2 weeks. A great success, I would say. Probably the leanest I've ever been. I posted a bit of a thirst trap on the gram afterwards. I then went to Rufus and partied my little heart out. It was probably the best event I've ever been to. I had an absolute blast.
Yeah, nice.
Put it this way, I put myself in that much of a state that I got denied to the first club that we went to. But I got let into the trusty Met. The Met's always you can always get into the Met no matter what state you're in. Anyway, I weighed myself on Tuesday morning and I lost a further kilo over that weekend. So that's a prime example of I'm one of those people that if I intuitively eat or if I party, I will be one to lose weight. So since I've been back, I've just tracked my food as I've seen fit and I've just ate. And naturally I've sat around like 2400 calories, which I know is way too little food for me, but that's just something that I naturally eat towards. So I've got to the end of the day and I've had to like eat some more calorie dense foods, like say dates, for example, just to get my calorie intake up, because I've looked at my calories at the end of the day and gone, oh wow, I'm way too low. But my weight's come back up a little bit. So I'm back just at 90 kilos as of this morning, which is still quite light, but hopefully that will continue to increase. But yeah, the mini cut went really well. I had a fantastic weekend. Rufus are amazing. So they're my favorite artists. What's funny is the Spotify Wrapped came out today. You know what the Spotify Wrapped is? So it shows you like your most played artists on Spotify, your most listened to podcasts and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, Rufus was definitely number one by like a long shot.
Nice.
So to see them live finally for the first time was absolutely epic. And then they played my favorite song, Second Last and Goosebumps. And it came on in the gym before and I was like, oh, reliving the moment right now. So had an amazing weekend, good people, great music. Yeah. And then I've slowly eased myself back into training this week.
What are you going to do going forward now?
So I've got another event this weekend. There's a boat party this weekend. So I'll probably run a muck for that as well. And then I think there's 4 weeks or 3 weeks to Christmas after that. So probably leading up to the new year, I'll probably run like a strength block and just see how heavy I can get, say squat, bench, deadlift again. But I probably won't go too heavy on the squat. My knee's just been giving me a bit of grief lately. So I'll probably just push the dead and the bench, and I'd love to hit 3 plates on the bench. So the bench will probably be the number one that I'll push. And my shoulder's not giving me any grief anymore. My forearm injury's gone away. So provided that doesn't flare up and come back, the goal will be a 3-plate bench by the end of the year. But I mean, I'm not too stressed. I haven't followed a program for the past 3 weeks. I've just been going in and doing movements that I like and training to feel good. I've only trained once this week, if I'm being completely honest, and it's just because I just haven't wanted to train or haven't felt up to it. So,
And day of recording is a Thursday for reference for everyone.
Yeah. So today was the first day I trained in a week. So, and usually I'm a 5 day a week trainer, but I had fun on the weekend. I was in recovery mode Monday, Tuesday, and then I could have trained yesterday, but I was like, you know what? I really don't want to train. So I just didn't train yesterday. And then today I was like, do I want to train? I didn't really want to train. I was like, I probably should for my health. So I trained purely for health, not because I wanted to. So you don't always have to be motivated to train. Sometimes you just train because you're like, oh, okay, this is good for my health. This is going to serve me long term. So I trained today. And that's pretty much the only reason why I trained. I just did 4 exercises, 3 sets of each at the gym.
In and out, mate. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Number 4 today. Trained. So trained 4 times this week already. Well, that's because I got a big weekend coming up. Got the V8s.
Oh, yeah. You've got a big weekend.
The Velo 500, Adelaide 500 or something. So, yeah. So every year I invited you, but I know that you had Rufus and shit. So couldn't back it up. Next year, though.
Well, I got the boat. I got the boat party this week,
Well,
man.
that's the thing, man. Oh, that's
So,
all right. No, it's all good. Yeah, next year, eh? Next year. But yeah,
yeah,
it'll be.
let's tee it up.
Yeah, definitely, man. Definitely. It's yeah, just a thing that I've just started. We started last year of just getting all the boys around for like the start of summer, part of like Christmas as well. We're not doing any Christmas gifts this year, but I'm like, next year we need to do like a Secret Santa or something. So we're all going to go to the V8s because it landed on the V8 weekend. They just like, because of what was it like, label winning or something, they're like, yeah, we're going to have the V8s. So they just plonked it on the day, the weekend that we usually do it. So we're like, oh, fuck it, let's just go to the V8s. So we've got like this, I guess it's a suite of like, it's called the Atrium. And it's from like 11, it's free drinks and food. Like, obviously, we had to pay for it and stuff, but we're all going to be
Yeah.
like dressed up. It's going to be 33 degrees. So, short sleeves, I think, and
That's
shorts.
dangerous.
Yeah.
That's very dangerous.
Yep. So, some of the boys are coming here first from 7 o'clock in the morning. And we're going to have like bacon and eggs, steak sangers, breakfast beers, all the stuff before heading in to a local pub right outside of the thing. And then couple of beers there and then head into it. So yeah, big weekend, that's for sure. But
It's a
I've
big day,
worked.
especially in
Yeah.
that
Yeah, it is. It's gonna be huge
heat.
though. But this is the thing, like I'm not worried one bit because for the last what, seven or 8 weeks, I've been like on this diet that's lost me like, 7 kilos or something, 6 or 7 kilos. So this weekend's not gonna put much of a dent into it. I'm just making sure I'm eating beforehand. Because it can go out the window. You could say, oh, I'll save my calories and then, not eat, but then you start drinking and then you get too drunk and then it just goes out the window. So, yeah, there's some strategies involved. Let's just say
Yeah, be mindful of that, given that I didn't get let into the first club we went to after Rufus, and I was extreme dieting for 2 weeks beforehand. So
Yeah, that's the thing.
just keep that in mind before
Well,
yeah.
that's the thing. Like last week, I was at maintenance, and this week, I've been in a slight deficit this week because I didn't gain any weight. Like, oh, when I say that, on average, it was 90 grams. So, and my calories went
Yeah,
up
that's nothing.
another like 500. So, it was fine. So, I'm happy with where I'm at now. And then I think, so today's Thursday. So, Friday, I'm just going to eat at maintenance. Because I want to make sure that I'm fed going into the Saturday, or else shit can just go weird when you start mixing alcohol, especially because I haven't like been
Yeah.
drunk in ages. Not like saying that it's
Yeah.
good to get drunk, but like this is a boys' weekend, like fuck, we'll do it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Gotta live life too,
Yeah, I think we've got a question later on dealing with this that we
yeah.
can so.
We certainly do. That came my side of the fence, and yeah, that's I'm assuming to do with the weekend that I just had and them seeing some footage of me.
Yep.
Okay, I want to talk about this fella, you know, Super Mario Brothers, right? Nintendo 64.
Sure do.
Well, there's a new Super Mario. His name is Mario Sanna, and he's known as Super Mario. And he's a 94-year-old retiree. He still hits the gym twice a week to fit in a 2-hour workout. He has no plans to stop anytime soon. He considers the gym as his second home and the gym rats there as his second family. That was 30 years ago. He stopped the rigorous work and started joining a gym, and he has no plans of stopping anytime soon. So he's 94 years young and he's still pumping iron, and he regards the gym as his second home and the gym rats as his second family. I bloody love it.
That's so good. Yeah, I saw some of the pictures just getting after it. Hey,
Yeah.
that's it. You're never too old to continue and start, really, are you? And
Yeah, that's the goal, right? To continue doing it for the rest of your life. Like, I can't see any reason why you wouldn't want to do that for the rest of your life, especially if it adds quality to your life, which it clearly does to him. And he's got like a little community in the gym and regards it as his second home, so he obviously feels very comfortable in there. Yeah, that's the goal for me.
Yeah, and you don't need to do much either when it comes to that. Like from doing nothing, like if you're in the older age of like 60, 65 and above, Just doing it like once or twice a week, the huge amount of gains you're going to get of like maybe 50% is just in doing it's just starting, and then obviously it diminishes the more you do. A thing to note of that as well with weight training, and it's so that you are protecting your bones as well. So bone remodeling, you lift weights, best form of bone remodeling. So then you don't have, say, like hip fractures and that. Because I heard this statistics. If it's wrong, call me out, but it was from a reputable source and I didn't double check this, so just bear with me. But it was after the age of like 65, and you break a hip, there's like a 30 to 40% chance that you will die in the next year.
Yeah, it's a pretty alarming stat.
That
Can
is,
someone please fact check Brad?
fact check me that, but like this is from a reputable source. Like that's crazy. So basically, if you break a hip, you have a 30 to 40% chance of dying in the next year.
Yeah.
That is, and you really don't need to do much. Like even if it's like 20, 30 minutes, just a basic body weight stuff, which is enough load just to start, at least start, or stop the process of like, especially in women. Like this is, I think because once women hit menopause and then the estrogen, I think the estrogen goes down or something like that. That's when you're more at risk of all these fractures. So it's very, very important. So for all the women out there listening, or people that have mothers, it's something just to know if you can just get them moving, doing some sort of like resistance training, it'll increase their health by a long shot. And we preach it a lot on here, but just hearing that stat, my heart sank and I was like, oh my gosh, mum, please, if you're listening to this,
Yeah.
let's like do some weekly training because it's really important.
So the benefits aren't just like bone density and like fighting osteoporosis and whatnot. It's the ability to catch yourself if you do slip or trip or stumble over something, like doing a lunge movement pattern or doing like just a basic sit to stand, like sitting up and sitting down and standing up off a chair or a couch or whatever it may be. Just the ability for you to like catch yourself and brace yourself with your legs so you don't fall and break a hip is another benefit other than the bone density and the fighting osteoporosis and all the other benefits of strength training. So
Oh,
yeah,
there's so many. I just wanted to
oh,
make a
it's
point
crazy.
on that, like how crazy it can help.
I do love how you said people that have mothers. That's literally every human on earth, Brad.
Exactly right. So now, oh, go on. Were you gonna say something?
I want to touch on Liver King, and I'm assuming you want
I
to
was gonna go there, like
touch on him too. Yes. Yes.
I was gonna say another
I
fucking
don't
Super
know which
Mario.
episode, I don't know what episode I brought it up, but I said there is no way that guy is natural
Oh
unless he's
yeah.
eaten tren trees and D-bulb plants.
Was the
And it's
funniest.
come out that he is spending 11K a month on growth hormone. He is the biggest fraud there is, and I despise that. Making money out of people, lying to make money out of people, disgusting.
Yeah,
Disgusting,
so
disgusting, disgusting.
it was More Plates, More Dates got his YouTube channel, and he's open about what he takes in that. And yeah, he went over some emails that got leaked of the Liver King. If you don't know who the Liver King is, if you just search his name, you'll be like, yep, it's like most people, except for the people that he's targeting, which are young, naive men thinking that they can do the nine ancestral habits or something to get that physique or just eat liver. What he preaches, like some of the stuff, obviously, get good sleep, get some sunshine, eat well. Like there's some good practices out there, but it's when you start saying you're natural and then saying all you need is this to look like I am right now, that's where I have a problem with it. Know what I mean?
11K a month on growth hormone. 11K.
I know. And
It's over
it's
100
crazy.
grand a year he's spending on performance enhancing drugs and claiming to be natural. That is mind-boggling to me.
Yeah. And in the video, he speaks about like he wanted to get to 1 million followers by a certain point so that he could, I guess, sell more supplements and like over 100 million or something he's earning a year
Yeah. I know it's crazy.
in
Through
these businesses.
selling like liver capsules, yeah.
Oh, all of his little industrial supplements and shit.
Yeah,
So,
I knew you were going to want to bring that up because
oh
I saw
mate,
that and I was like, stuff that trend tree eating bastard.
dude, it was so funny. Like, yeah, most people with a good eye would can tell, but it's he just preying on young naive, mostly young naive lads that want to get jacked, and look like him. So, yeah, it's when you start using profits after like deceit, it's just not a good time. So
Yeah.
that's all I'm going to say about that. I don't know if anything else you want to bring up about him, but yeah, I don't recommend listening to him.
People, if it looks too good to be true, 9 times out of 10, it's too good to be true. And that guy could walk onto any bodybuilding stage and pretty much win any physique competition he goes in year round because he maintains that level of leanness. That's pretty hard to do, especially at his age. So to me, it was blatantly obvious that he was smashing growth hormone like it was Skittles. But
Yeah,
yeah,
there's
to
no
the
way.
untrained eye and the naive, they're probably a bit oblivious to it.
Yeah, it's good it's come out now. So then it sheds a lot of light on the subject of like
Yeah.
how easily like these people can fool. Like he's such a charlatan, like just speaking in absolutes, like you just do this and it's all good. Like have all this plus my, liver supplement or whatever. So I want to talk about one of my favorite topics, and that is space. I brought it up on the podcast a few months ago, maybe, about the Artemis mission going to the moon. So they finally got launched, lift off, like probably like 10 days ago. I think it was November 16th. So it was like 2 weeks ago, actually. And so it's the Orion. So they said that it would be the first in a series of increasingly complex missions to build a long-term human presence at the moon for decades to come. The primary goal is to demonstrate Orion systems in a spaceflight environment and ensure a safe re-entry, descent, splashdown, and recovery prior to the first flight crew on the Artemis 2. So this, I fucking love this shit. Like I watched it live when it reached the moon, because it's doing like a 1.5 laps around it and then going back. It's not landing on the moon just yet. It's just like making sure everything's working and you can actually get around it. So it's doing 1.5 laps. It says it's gonna travel like 1.3 million miles. So I don't have kilometers here. Splashdown's December the 11th. And the mission was like 25 days, 11 hours, and 36 minutes. They're very precise with shit. So,
Yeah.
which is good. It's, rocket science and stuff. But I love this. Like they want to get people on the moon in 2025, which is very, very soon. And they want to obviously put females on the moon and people of color, because obviously all men, like white men, have been on there. So that was part of their, I guess, their
Yeah.
campaign as well. And then to get a base on there for like a decade or so, and then shoot for Mars from there. So it's so cool, man. I love
It's crazy, hey. We can't even get Earth right, and we want to go to different different planets.
That's the reason why we want to leave. Like, it was such a it was a crazy moment. Like I saw the live as the Aurorans like looking at the moon on the right side, and then in between the moon was Earth and the space flight thing, like the Orion, and you just see how small Earth is, and then it was like slowly like creeping over it, and then obviously you can't get any signal for like half an hour or something when it's around that side of the moon. So I love this show. I've just been following it so well. Like it's so good. Have you heard much of it or
Not at all.
no? It wasn't it. Yeah. Go on.
I'm into dolphins and animals as you are into space.
Well, who knows? There might be dolphins on the other planets.
Maybe, you never know. That
Yeah.
definitely has to be water for them, though.
Well, I'm sure there was they predict there was water on Mars. So who knows? We'll find out more. Earth to come. There might be some water. What is it? One of those moons off of Jupiter, I believe.
Yeah, wasn't there hydrogen present? Didn't they pick up on hydrogen present on
it was
the
something
planet?
Like that. It was something like that, and oxygen. I don't know. I can't remember. But yeah, cool stuff out there. But that's very soon. Having people on the moon in like 3 years, less. Like it's nearly 2023 now. So I'm excited. I want to see. I want to see some people go up there and walk on it again.
You need to start stockpiling some funds, mate, so you can get on that moon adventure.
Right. It's been 50 years since they last were there. So I wonder if the flag's still there. It'd be pretty cool.
Do you reckon they actually went to the moon?
Oh, mate, you're asking me this one. I mean, I think they did. Why, you don't?
No, I reckon they did.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be a pretty elaborate lie to make up, wouldn't it?
I was going to say, like, if it was a conspiracy, you know how many people, like, let alone two people knowing about something. Imagine, well, at least hundreds of people knowing about the same kind of conspiracy. It's just, yeah, it's very... I don't know, with people with conspiracies sometimes.
Yeah, people aren't good at keeping their mouths shut.
No, definitely not, especially in the age of podcasts and stuff.
All right, you got a fact for me?
I got a fact for you. All right.
Love it.
So, where do you think July and August came from, the months? Or who do you think
Absolutely
they're named
not.
after?
Absolutely no idea.
No idea. So, they're named after two major figures of the ancient Roman world. So Julius Caesar is July, and
oh really?
Yep, and the Rome's first emperor Augustus is August.
Oh well, there you go.
How good's that?
Makes sense.
It does make sense.
Yeah.
And October is just because it means eight in Latin, I think.
Again, it totally makes sense.
What do you got for me?
So I've got another sleeping animal fact for you. This time it's about the Australian koala. So they can sleep for up to 22 hours a day. Now, I know you're going to ask, why is that?
Why is that, Brock?
Because you always ask, why is that? So I did a little bit of research for you.
Always got to ask.
Now, koalas need more sleep than most animals because their diet of eucalyptus leaves contains toxins, and they are also very low in nutrients and a highly fibrous food. So therefore, it takes a large amount of energy to digest. So because of their food choice, they sleep a lot.
Fuck, you know. Have you ever, like, held a koala?
Yeah, I certainly have. They're vicious little things, hey?
Sure are.
It's true that all koalas have chlamydia, yeah?
Yeah, I was going to... I wasn't sure if I was going to bring that up or not. I don't know if...
Yeah, well, I will.
G'day everyone, it's Brad here again. Just before we get to the questions, could you please share this with someone? The only way that we're going to reach more people and send a great message out to everyone is if you can share it, if you can like and review, give us a 5-star review or share it with one of your friends and family. As you could tell, we don't run ads on this podcast at the moment. So if you could just do this one thing for us so that we can grow, we'd truly appreciate it. Cheers.
Question number one, is it important to know your lean body mass?
Probably not.
Agreed. Like, seriously. I've never known my lean body mass my entire life.
Yeah, you probably don't need to know your lean body mass. Like, I think the only time that I would see that it might be feasible for you to know is like if you are got a little bit more weight to lose, and our recommendations of like protein of like, you know, 1.6 to 2.2, you could use that for lean mass. Because like if you weighed, you know, 150 or something, that's like 300 grams of protein, even more. So yeah. If you just say, oh, maybe your lean mass, and then you can go from there. Or what I like to say is at least your what weight you want to be.
So like a goal body weight.
Yeah, like a goal body weight. Like what goal weight do you want to be? And then just use that as a proxy to work out your macros and stuff. Because I think that's where it's coming from. You don't know 100% what your lean mass is. It like lean body mass is everything but fat, basically. So if you do like a DEXA or something, it might tell you in there, but again, it's very up and down with like water. It's probably the gold standard. You can make an argument with someone that's really good with calipers as well, like electronic ones that have been doing it a lot, could be up there as well. But yeah, there's really no need to know your lean body mass, other than what we just said then.
Yeah.
Can you think of
So,
anything else? Like,
nah, I would say that question's coming from trying to figure out like their amount of grams of protein that they should consume a day.
yeah, you would have
But
heard it from somewhere. They're like, just do lean body, like, because some people do say, oh, 1.1, 1.6 to 2.2, or like, I think it's like 2.2 to 3.1 or something of lean body mass, which just can get confusing, especially when it comes to like protein or whatever. I've heard like doing your centimeters, like grams in centimeters, from Eric Helms. I heard him say that, which I quite enjoy. But again, predict whatever body weight you want to be. Just use that for protein, I would have thought.
I think knowing your lean body mass is pretty relevant. Same with knowing your body fat percentage. Again, think that's pretty relevant. I mean, the only person that probably really cares about that is you. Unless you're in the physique bodybuilding world, then you all seem to want to jack off one another over how low of a body fat percentage you can get.
I need to
Sorry
know.
if I've
I need to know for my shred to 10 to say that I've completed that. But that's about it.
I think both of them are relevant. You're best off focusing how you feel, how you perform. I mean, are you happy with how you look, and are you confident within yourself? I think they're much more better parameters to know, rather than is my lean body mass at a good percentage or whatever it may be.
Exactly. And like, I don't see much utility for it either. Like, oh, damn,
No.
that person's got a good lean body mass. Like, and if you're going to like the doctor or something, they're going to use like maybe a BMI scale as well.
Yeah, and a waist measurement,
And
that'd be
probably
about
a
it.
waist measurement. If like most doctors can tell, like, if you lift weights, or you just tell them you lift weights, because sometimes more muscle as well. You could be in that overweight category, or sometimes obese if you do have a lot of muscle. But it works generally well for a lot of people, but for the individual, everything's a little bit more nuanced.
Okay, question number two. How do you manage drinking, partying, and your health and fitness goals?
Yes. So drinking and partying. This has been a struggle for me for a long time. I've only just got it wrapped up through the podcast as well. Like, if you've heard my journey at the start, I was quite open about that at the start of this podcast. I can't remember what episode it was, but for years I would drink every weekend, and every weekend meaning Friday, Saturday. Sometimes I'd do Sunday, sometimes during the week as well. And I'd always be lifting though. This is the thing. Like, I always had those daily or weekly checklists of moving closer to quote unquote health, even though I was drinking alcohol every single weekend. So my body fat percentage, like, obviously went up and down a lot, especially with like the when I first started like that bodybuilding show as well. But my weight just shot up, went down, like full yo-yo, but intentionally as well. And I found that over the years I'm drinking less, which is great. So a lot better, and I hate having that hangover feeling. But I know what it's like to want to still party when you're younger and just get on it. Like, I'm well aware, and it's only like in my last few years where I'm like, I just can't do it anymore, and I'm just can't recover as much, and I just feel like shit, and I'm not productive the next day, and then you can get like a small bout of depression, like miniature depression. I'm not huge, but you know what I mean. Like, you know that feeling, that sadness feeling. You're like, fuck, what have I done? And like, because I blacked out a lot, it wasn't good. So now I put in certain strategies so that I don't overly get too absolutely hammered. And if is this regarding your getting lean as well, or is this just a general question?
I'm assuming this is directed at me because obviously I partied a fair bit over the weekend, and I am probably in close to the best shape I've ever been in. So I'm pretty sure that's where that would be coming from.
Right. So That's the thing. Like, if you're doing, again, it's that like healthy habit still of probably from the Monday to the Friday, I was still weight training, still eating my veggies, hitting my protein, getting my steps in, getting to sleep on time, working, having good relationships. And then on the weekend, I would just let it loose. So it doesn't seem healthy and it probably isn't, but it's better than not doing anything throughout the week and then just getting on it and drinking on the weekend. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm not saying go out and go binging and shit like that. Like, we know like alcohol is really bad for you, especially when you're in excess and then you don't know what the fuck you're doing. You black out or whatever, and then you have that dreaded what the fuck happened last night. Not a good place to be in. I've been in there many, many times. A lot less now. So obviously you went out on the weekends and you're still shredded. And that can come down to like I was at a point where I would go out and I'd just have like vodka, soda water or whatever, and just have these low calorie alcohols. And so I still get drunk but less calories. So you can kind of do it that way as well. Because the thing is we can't just tell you just to stop drinking. Like that's just not feasible for most people, especially like in the younger ages that probably listen to this podcast. We're not saying like just stop it altogether. And but it if it's one thing like you're doing like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and you're drinking every week, like every single weekend, that's gonna compound over time. And it's really not good for your health. So you got to kind of look at why you're doing it, to be honest. And you got to kind of go deep into like, why am I always getting fucked up? You know, because I've had to do a lot of work on myself for that of like, why do I have to go so much? Like, why do I always have to take it over to the edge? And it can be just shit that's going on inside your head because you just want to escape. And it can be a road that you can't get off of, and it can be hard sometimes. And I totally understand if you want to do it, but it's just like having some strategies and knowing why you're doing it. Like just this weekend with the boys, like haven't gotten on with the boys in ages, so I'm just gonna let loose and that's it. And then I won't for a while. But yeah, doing it every single weekend. I don't even know why. Like for so long, I didn't know why I wanted to do it. But I've worked through that now and a lot better for it. So I guess you kind of got to pave your own way as well.
Yeah, exactly. I know your struggles with alcohol, and I witnessed firsthand your struggles with alcohol in London. So I'm not going to touch too much on your side of things. I'm just going to speak from my own experiences. So how to manage your health and fitness goals and partying. So if I'm being honest, I will only party if there's an event or something like worth going to for me. Otherwise, it's just not worth it. So at a very young age, I associated the negative side effects of alcohol with my health and how it made me feel, how it made me think, like all the negative side effects. And I just weighed up the pros and the cons. And to me, it wasn't really worth it. So now I'm at a point where it takes like my favorite artists ever coming into town for me to really let loose. Same for this boat party on the weekend. It's all of us staff of the gym coming together, creating that gym culture. And I'll probably let loose a little bit this weekend. It'll be much more timid because I know I had a big weekend last weekend. But I may have a couple of drinks and let loose a little bit. How to manage your health and fitness goals around that? So yes, I am in great shape at the moment. But the reason behind that is because I spent 6 weeks really, really diligent, and then I had like a 2 or 3 week maintenance period, and then I had 2 weeks of really, really, really strict and diligent. And there was one event during that 2 to 3 week maintenance period where I went out. Other than that, it's pretty much 10 weeks where I went out once. So, did I really manage partying and health and fitness? Not really. Health and fitness was my top priority. And there was one weekend during that period where I went out. So, if health and fitness is your top goal, then 80% or probably even 90% of your habits and lifestyles and choices and decisions should be revolved around health and fitness. But you've also got to enjoy life in the meantime. So that's where that 10 to 20% comes in. So we've talked about 80-20 before when it comes to food. 80% nutrient dense, whole, minimally processed foods, and then 10% enjoying food for taste and the sensation it gives in your mouth. It's the same with
20%.
20%, not two,
Yeah.
yeah. It's the same with like that life and health balance. For me, it's health is a number one priority for me. So 80% of my decisions are, or even 90% are based around health. So I train 5 times a week. I make sure I get my steps in. I drink plenty of water. I prioritize sleep. I have all these habits centered around health. And then when I let loose, yes, I may struggle for a couple of days afterwards, but I thoroughly enjoy myself and I completely let loose. So when I'm partying and doing whatever on that side of things, I am not thinking about my health whatsoever. I'm just in the moment, having a good time. I am that much in the moment that I had to message people today and be like, hey, do you have any videos whatsoever from Rufus? Because my phone never left my pocket the entire time. I'm just purely in the moment, enjoying it for what it is, getting goosebumps when my favorite song comes on, whatever it may be. I'm just in the moment partying. And then as soon as I'm done, it's bang, straight back into healthy habits. And that's how I manage my health and fitness and partying side of things. Is I'm health focused, health focused, health focused. Flick a switch, and I'm pretty sure I did a post about that of like party mode Brock has been engaged. I flicked a switch and then bang, it's party mode Brock. I'm enjoying every little second I have partying or doing whatever it may be that isn't optimal for my health. As soon as that is finished though, and as soon as I wake up the next morning, bang, I'm back into healthy habits and prioritizing my health and well-being. But in terms of managing it, like they're conflicting. It's like trying to be a marathon runner and a bodybuilder. It's not really going to happen. You got to pick one or the other. So find out which is your top priority, and then you can base your life decisions and choices and habits around that.
Yeah, I really like what you said of going out for events and that, like, and that was the thing. Like, I would just go out just for the sake of going out and probably picking up girls. It's like, and at the time, I guess I just didn't see that, like, how unhealthy it was. Like, you hear it from people as well. Like, oh, you know, that binging is not good and stuff. I'm like, yeah. But like, I'm doing all this other stuff. I'll be fine. I'm young and that. And if I had my time again, obviously I'd do a little bit different and just not absolutely get smashed. Cause I've said to myself so many times, and I've done it, and I've proved to myself that I can go out. I'm just the type of person that can go out sober and have fun. Like, I went, like, this was how much I guess I was addicted to going out. Like, during my prep as well, I still went out, didn't drink, and I had my food in the car. So I'd be in the club and then I'd go to my car, eat the food, and then go back into the club. And like that, if you think that's healthy, it's not. Like, that's just not. Because I wanted two different things. I wanted to be like shredded into a bodybuilder as well. And then I also wanted to go out and party and have fun, because I felt like if I didn't do it now, I wouldn't be able to do it later on in life. And I'm glad I did all that stuff to the excess that I did do that. It probably was a bit too excessive for my liking now that 31-year-old Brad's looking at, and probably 100-year-old Brad was probably like, yeah, mate, you definitely went pretty hard. Because I know for some people as well, it can be very exhilarating. Drinking as well, there is this like a certain phenotype of people that when they start to drink, they just absolutely get on it and they love it so much that it can be addicting and then turn into alcoholism. And then that's when relationships start breaking down, friendships, your health as well, and then you just keep digging yourself deeper and deeper and deeper, and it gets harder and harder and harder. So if you are struggling with something like this, obviously go speak to someone about it. But I know that you're fighting two different battles when you want to go out every single weekend, even like having drinks throughout the week as well. Like, yes, it's okay, like here and there, but like if you're drinking every single night, like that's having an effect on your sleep. And like, it's just empty. Like, I'm in two minds here. Like, it can be okay. Like, see, this is the thing, like it affects your sleep no matter what. Like, it depends on like how close to bed it is. And then over time, just think of the compounding effect. Because you're just having it just as it's like a stress relief kind of thing. And it's just a part of you right now. And if you just like had like one or two like off of it for a bit, how much better your health would be from that. So yeah, it's a big big subject because it's quite social. It's been around for thousands of years because it's like fermented fruit, basically. So, it's probably been back like 10,000 years. And some people do feel really good with it, like, oh, I just want to get a little tipsy and stuff. And I think it's when you're taking it to the mass level every day or every single weekend where your health is just going to suffer. Like, you may be all right when you first start out, but the longer you do it, the worse your health's going to be. And then you're going to be like, who knows what kind of like injuries you have to your brain or whatever from all that usage. So just be mindful out there and use it in the right way, even though like alcohol is probably really bad for you. We're on this like fucking earth once. Like we just get one shot. You got to have fun and responsible fun, obviously. So speaking from experience, don't take it too far, too many times.
Yeah, thank you for being open and your vulnerability. Like, thank you for that. I'm sure that'll help a lot of people.
I hope so.
One last tip. Maybe grab like a notepad and a pen and write down your priorities in life. And if partying is number one, then have 80% of your time focused around partying. But have your list of priorities and an order of them, and then go, okay, so what should my habits, lifestyle choices, decisions, everything I do in my life be revolved around this list of whatever the priorities may be? So that would be my way of approaching it. Then you can go, okay, I should spend majority of my time focusing on this one as it's my number one priority, and then below that, and work your way down the list and figure out a percentage of how much time you should be devoting to each thing in order of your personal priorities. But that's going to take some self-reflection on your behalf too.
Yeah, and you might listen to this and it's just going to go in one ear and out the other. And I understand. And I know this from experience of like sometimes you're just not ready to hear this. And that's okay. Maybe come back in a year and re-listen to this. It's in the archives, so it's going to be hard, but maybe just make a note of this, put an alarm on your phone or something and just re-listen to this because it is important that like what is it like that the teacher will appear once the student is ready, or
Yep,
some quote like
that's
that.
it.
So I've listened to books, read books multiple times, and got different things out of them through different times in my life. And it's the same with this. Like, it doesn't even have to be us. Like, you go listen to other people. It's just like having a different perspective on what people are saying because you're in your tunnel. You don't know it, but you're in your tunnel. You're very one focused on. This is how I see the world. And when someone doesn't agree with you, it's easy just to push it off. Where it's, if you can try and catch that and go, okay, why am I feeling this way towards this person right now? Like, why did that make me angry? Or why did I disagree with it without even thinking? Like, that's that second brain, just instinct of not push it away, don't need it. But it's like having that reflection of knowing, okay, there's a reason why I'm acting the way I am right now. Let's go deeper onto this because you'll find that over time, it's not just the black and white, like it's somewhere in between. So you can move forward and you got to keep growing. You got to keep learning. You got to keep trying to listen to different people's perspectives on certain topics. Don't listen to the Liver King, but it's really important. And I guess for me, it came when I was in London when I was 25. I swear my brain just all of a sudden became conscious and just started reading and started learning. And it's probably earlier for women, but for the men, young little whippersnappers out there, try and learn a bit more now so then you don't have to wait till you're 25 and sunk so much drink and pain that it affects you later down the track.
Okay. Question number three. What are your top five foods to have in your groceries?
Oh, top one in my groceries. So it's got to be chicken breast. That's top up there. I make palmies, make bone broth with it, stir fries, goes with anything really. Lean beef mince. If I'm dieting, I usually go for the 5%, sometimes a 10, mainly the 5 though. Same amount of volume. You might as well go for the lesser fat if you can. Like if you put like veggies and sauce, you can barely taste the difference. Protein powder's got to be there, even though, I don't like have it from Woolworths or whatever. I order it online. It's definitely got to be in there. Some eggs. Love my eggs. Two or three in there as well. And then I'm going to say caramelly koala.
Love
I
it.
had four down and I wasn't sure of the fifth. And I'm like, nah, number five is caramelly koala because it brings me so much joy whenever I eat it. And just takes you back to when I was a kid. And there's nothing better than that.
Okay.
What
Well,
about
my
you,
top
mate?
five. Well, I'm pretty much going to spout off the same as you. So mine would be chicken breast in particular. Super versatile, goes with anything. Second would be either beef mince or turkey mince, just a mince of some sort. Probably beef, and I would be the extra lean, which is I think 5%
5%,
or
yeah.
95.5 as y'all Americans say. Number three, food that I eat the most, probably rice. I honestly am not surprised. I am honestly surprised how I'm not a grain of rice at this point, if you are what you eat. Number four would probably be peanut butter. Would probably be my next most consumed food. I eat a truckload of peanut butter. Again, it goes with anything. Is there a single food on earth that peanut butter doesn't go with? Like, serious question.
Jelly. Oh, I'm gonna
Peanut butter
piss off a few.
peanut butter would go with it. Peanut goes with literally
Honey?
everything.
Have you had it with
Peanut
honey
butter and
before?
honey, yeah,
Have
absolutely
you? My
delicious.
brother used to have that. I was disgusted about it.
Yeah,
I
peanut
don't
butter
like it.
goes with anything.
Can't do it.
Number five, I'm really torn here between saying a vegetable and saying protein powder, but it would be one of the two. I eat a lot of green beans, like a lot, but I do consume protein powder probably close to daily, but it would be one of those two. But yeah, chicken, mince, rice, peanut butter, and then let's say green beans. The protein powder is a supplement, I suppose, on the end, but it is a food.
Yeah, it's
Now,
pretty well considered a food, isn't it?
yeah, you're asking for our top five. Our top five are not your top five. So the top five are the five foods that help you maintain a healthy body composition that you enjoy and that are part of a sustainable diet for you long term. Everyone's top five will be different. Our top five weren't the same. They were similar, but they weren't exactly the same because we have different taste buds and different preferences. So that will vary for everyone, but you asked our top five, so we gave you our top five.
Yep, 100%. And you mentioned that that's the most you consume. I don't consume a lot of caramel koalas. Just want to put that out. Like I used to a lot, but not as much anymore. It just brings me a lot of joy when I have them. So I just wanted to chuck
It's
that
because you've
bad
got to eat
boy
a
in.
minimum of two in every sitting,
Nah,
yeah?
it's three. It's three.
Three.
Yeah, come on now.
That's it for the questions. If you want your questions answered in the future, make sure you are following us at brain.body.movement, at Brad Dapper, and at Brock_Dalgleish. And you can ask us a question whenever we put up a sticker box or send us a DM. But that's a wrap for today's episode. We just want to say thank you so much for listening to us. If you enjoyed or took any value at all from this episode, we would really appreciate it if you took a screenshot and shared to your Instagram stories. We would also love if you shared it with family and friends and left us a five-star review. Also, don't forget to turn on post notifications so you don't miss an episode in the future. But before we go, if we can leave you with a few things, make your damn bed, get your steps in, and be kind to one another.
Cheers.